Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your promise to us that your word, which is spoken and proclaimed, will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. And Lord, I pray that you would, as you have promised, use this word in our lives, not as I have intended, but as you intend. And thank you that you are the one who will accomplish your purpose, the one who will build your church. And Lord, we are weak and powerless, but we look to you, the one who has all power and all strength, the one whose plans never fail and who is always faithful. And Father, as we come to your word, I pray that you would open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. I pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And I pray, Father, that you would mold us and change us into the likeness of Jesus. Father, thank you that one day we will be where you want us to be. But today we are not where you want us to be. So I pray that you would shape us, change us, and mold us to become more like Jesus by your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. So for the month of July, we are in the book of 2 Chronicles, looking at four portraits of dependence. So what does it mean to depend on the Lord, to trust him? And the goal of these messages is that we as weak people would be encouraged to depend on our powerful God. So you're weak, whether or not you feel today, and we need to trust and depend on our powerful God. So we've looked at King Asa, and then King Jehoshaphat, and today we're looking at King Uzziah. And his life here is contained in chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles. Let me read this for you. This is God's word. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mahanaims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel, scribe of Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600, and under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, and he made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons, which would be probably coats of mail, and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks and to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah and the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shalt be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from hence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, He is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. So I want to cover this text by asking three questions. Number one, what do you do when you depend on God? Number two, what is the pathway to pride? And number three, how do you finish faithfully? So number one, what do you do when you are depending on God? Now, I love the stories of Asa and Jehoshaphat, because God comes through in an amazing way and helps his people overcome vast armies. God's people get on their knees and say, God, we are helpless. Help us. King Asa prays, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against us. And then King Jehoshaphat prays, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And those prayers are expressions of dependence on God. But what do you do when the enemy armies are defeated? You go home and you wake up on Monday morning. Depending on God doesn't mean you sit at home and pray and wonder what you should do next. Depending on God means that we pray, and then we work hard at what God has given us. So what do you do when you depend on God? Yes, we pray, we claim his promises, but day to day, we do what God has given us to do. Even though King Asa and King Jehoshaphat relied on God in these prayers that I just read for you, they had organized kingdoms, they had well-equipped armies, just like King Uzziah. And we read how King Uzziah sought God, and he had a well-organized kingdom and a well-equipped army. Verse 5 says, And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought God, the Lord, God made him prosper. So, King Uzziah, when he depended on God, he did what he was supposed to do. He worked hard at it. What did he do? Well, what does the text say? Warfare. He's a king, so he had an army, and he goes to war. He goes against the Philistines on the west, the Arabians to the south, And the Ammonites to the east, they give him tribute. So he's securing his borders. It also looked like fortifying his city and his country. Verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and in the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. So he's building up the city of Jerusalem to protect it against enemies. Verse 10, he was involved in agriculture, so his people had food to eat, and he loved husbandry, or he loved the soil, as verse 10 says. Verses 11 to 15, Uzziah had a well-equipped and well-organized army, counted down. He knew how many men he had. They had the equipment of war. Uzziah did not build up his country and his military because he didn't depend on God. He did it because he was seeking God. Because he depended on God and sought God, he was faithful to do what God had given him to do as a king. Notice how God helps him. The text is very clear at how it progresses. Verse 5, Uzziah sought God and God made him prosper. Verse 7, God helped him against the Philistines. And then he was helped by his own people. Verse 13, the army that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Then in verse 15, we find this, and his name, that's Uzziah's name, his fame spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. And when the Old Testament uses this term marvelously or wonderfully, it often refers to supernatural help by God. So from this whole text up to verse 15 is saying that King Uzziah did these kingly things because God was helping him. So you could read verse 15, and Uzziah's name spread far abroad, for God helped him until he was strong. So what do you do when you depend on God? So I've encouraged us as a church to depend on God in prayer and in fasting. But when Monday comes, what do? Yes, we pray. Yes, we depend on God's promises. But you go and do what God has given you to do. Because Uzziah was a king, he had a whole kingdom to care for. And it looks, I mean, he looks like a pretty awesome king. I would want to live in his kingdom because it looks like everyone had food to eat and had a great army to protect them. None of us is a king, at least that I've heard of, but each of you have a calling from God. In the home, at work, in the community, and in the church. What is your calling? So when Monday morning comes, we depend on God by being faithful in our calling. And we'll talk about that more. So what do we do when we depend on God? We are faithful in our calling. Number two, unfortunately, it goes downhill from verse 16. What is the pathway to pride? What is the pathway to pride? Let me read verse 15 and 16 together. Most of the Bibles I have a big header between verses 15 and 16, so I think we can miss just how these verses are connected. Verse 15, and his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Uzziah was doing so well. And he was doing well as long as he sought God, as verse 5 reminds us. And he lifted up his heart. Some translations, but he was proud. So he's lifting himself up above God. And he transgressed against the Lord. This can also be translated unfaithful. And this word transgressed or unfaithful in Chronicles is a key word used by the author to show when God's people turned from him. So this is the beginning of the end. And from Uzziah, it kind of goes downhill until God takes his people captive from the kingdom of Judah. Uzziah thought he would be a king and a priest. He decided that he would burn incense in the temple. And this is an act of worship only for the priest. Do you notice how many priests it took to stand up to Uzziah? 80. We had Azariah, the high priest, or the chief priest, and you have 80 courageous priests along with him to stop the king from doing this, to tell him no. And then Uzziah gets angry with them, and then all of a sudden they're looking at him. He doesn't have a mirror, but leprosy, a skin disease, breaks out on his forehead. And a leprous person cannot go into the temple and be around God's people and the sacrifices. The priests see the leprosy and they rush him out of there. And then when Uzziah finds out that he has leprosy, he's like, I'm with you. I'm out of here. The sign of God's judgment against him. Now you may say, poor guy. He gets this illness and then he has to spend the rest of his life shut in a house by himself. But leprosy is more than just an illness. Leprosy is a sign of separation, of uncleanness from God's people. I'm going to take a little bit of time to explain this because I think it's important for us to understand. And the key term here is holiness. Holiness, or to be set apart. Set apart. The closer you got to God in the Old Testament, the more set apart or holy you had to be. So the temple was where God dwelt, his presence dwelt. So the closer you got to the temple, the more holy or set apart you had to be. So let's start about the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. The high priest only went in there once a year. Holy of Holies, set apart, special, where God's presence dwelt. Outside of the Holy of Holies was the holy place. That's where the altar of incense was. That's where Uzziah went to burn his incense. Only priests descended from Aaron were allowed to go there to offer incense. They would go in there on a daily basis. Now, if you were of the tribe of Levi, you could also work in the temple. You could help with other things besides doing the sacrifices and burning incense. But you are the tribe of Levi. You're the one who helped in the temple. If you were like a regular Israelite and you were clean, you could come and offer your sacrifices and worship God in the temple courtyard. But then there were Israelites who were unclean, You could become unclean by, let's say, touching a dead body or an unclean animal, and then you would be unclean for a day or for a week or for a month, and then you would be clean again. If you were unclean, you had to avoid contact with people. You couldn't go worship God, things like that. A person got leprosy and couldn't get rid of it. They were unclean for life, and unclean until the leprosy was gone. So you see King Uzziah. He thought he would be the holiest he could be, and God brings him from the top all the way down to the bottom. So you think you're holy, that you can approach me however you want, I will make sure you never set foot in my temple again. So that's a judgment from God. So King Uzziah didn't just get sick for the rest of his life. God cut him down. God does not like pride. God will cut proud people down. Uzziah was humbled. Let's think about this. The President of the United States, it would be like the President of the United States getting impeached, kicked out of the White House, and having to live under a highway in a cardboard box. That's like the kind of progression we see in Uzziah's life. He tried to be the highest he could, but God took him down all the way to the bottom. I think as we see King Uzziah, we should be terrified of lifting ourselves up in our hearts to exalt ourselves, because God does not take competition. There's only one God, and we need to humble ourselves before him. This should terrify us of pride. What's the pathway to pride? Let's start with King Uzziah's name. Uzziah means the Lord is strong. or the Lord is strength. Uzziah went wrong when he said, it went from the Lord is strong until I am going to be strong. Actually, in the book of Kings, Uzziah has another name named Azariah, and that also means the Lord is strong or powerful. So that's where Uzziah went wrong, from the Lord is strong to I'm going to be strong. Here's two ways to put this. Here's the two ways that King Uzziah went wrong. This is the pathway to pride. The first is this: strength or power without dependence on God. Strength without dependence on God. Power and strength are not bad in and of themselves. So if King Uzziah didn't have strength, he couldn't be a king. So it's God's will for our rulers to have power so that they actually can do what they're supposed to do. The problem for Uzziah is that in the midst of his power, he stopped seeking God. Verse 5, again, points forward to the problem. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Let's be honest. It's hard to depend on God when we are strong and successful. Would you agree with me? It's like really hard to want to trust God when we're doing fine. When we are weak and fearful, it makes sense to depend on God. One commentator on this passage puts it this way: the seductions of pride are all the more potent in a time of success and in matters to do with faith. Let me read that again. The seductions of pride are all the more potent in a time of success and in matters to do with faith, which is exactly Uzziah. He was successful, and where he got proud was matters of faith, trying to worship God. There is something about things related to church and Christianity that make us immediately think that we are immune to pride. So power can definitely tempt us to pride. Let's talk about where all of us are, okay? There's something about things related to church and Christianity that make us immediately think that we are immune to pride. I'm doing something good, so I'm good. Have you ever done that? I'm doing something for God, so I must be godly. I'm doing something spiritual, so I must be spiritual. So if it is success and things related to faith that can lead us to pride, successful pastors should be ripe to fall into the trap of pride. And there's a lot been written about that. In attempting to work for God, we think that we are many gods. This is where much of church conflict comes from. Pastors, church leaders, and workers acting like they are God. This is why there is shocking scandal after scandal as church leaders fall. We think being in a spiritual line of work makes us spiritual, which is false. This is the opposite is true. The seductions of pride are all the more potent in a time of success and matters to do with faith. Just because we enter the doors of a church building, it doesn't mean we are holy. In fact, we might be blinded from seeing all the unholy ways we are living just because we are in church. I must be fine. I'm in church. It didn't work for Uzziah, and it's not going to work for you. Humble yourself before God before he does it for you. The second way Uzziah went wrong was to have strength without seeking the giver. Strength without seeking the giver. He forgot where all his help came from. The text is clear. His help, his success came from the Lord. He got to the top and he looked down and says, wow, look at what I've done. I'm going to go higher. I want to be a priest too. We too can do that. We can look at our possessions, our position at work, our house, our family, and say, I've done pretty well for myself, forgetting that everything that we have is from God. We came into life with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. Everything is from God. This is how Christianity works. This is how the Bible works. God is always the giver, and we are always the receivers. I was reading in Psalms this morning. God says to his people, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." That's what God does. God is the giver, and we are always the receiver. God is giving us graciously, and we are always in his debt. God created us, he saved us, and everything we have is from God. That's how God always works. Romans 5 says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So, if you think that you are strong, if you think that you have arrived in life by your own effort, the salvation that God offers in Jesus should be an insult to you, because salvation says you can't do it, but God has done it in Jesus. God sent Jesus to show us how strong he is and how weak and sinful we are. The very fact that Jesus was sent shows us that we could not do it in our own effort. Because we could not save ourselves, God sent Jesus. He lived the life we could not live. Can any of us live a perfect life? No. He died the death we deserve to die. We deserve hell. And Jesus took hell for us. Jesus was strong for us. So Jesus has his arms open to receive weak and weary people. So if that's you today, come to Jesus. He's never going to turn you away. If you think you're fine, you think you got everything you want, there's no room for you at the foot of the cross. Because coming to Jesus means that you are weak and weary and sinful. If you have nothing to offer to Jesus except your sin and weakness, come to him and he will never turn you away. That's how God works. God delights to help weak, sinful people. Number three, how do you finish faithfully? How do you finish faithfully? Kind of as we read through this text, Uzziah goes out with a whimper. He goes out with a whimper. I'm not picking on his illness, because I know we have some dear saints in our church who are shut in their houses and can't go out. That's not the point. It's the leprosy, a sign of judgment, because he was proud. That's how he went out with a whimper. Uzziah went out with a whimper because his pride cut him off from the house of the Lord and from normal human relationships. Many of the kings in this book do not finish well. You go all the way back to the start of the Davidic dynasty that all these kings we're studying are descended from David. We find David's son Solomon, at the end of his life, he is tripped up by idol worship. King Asa, a few weeks ago, he liked his political power. He wanted to make treaties so that he could be strong. And Jehoshaphat, he got caught up in a wicked business venture with the king of Israel. And they go out with whimpers because they are caught up in sin. And as I read it throughout this book, I'm like, I want to finish faithfully, and I want us as a church, each one of you, to finish faithfully. As we look at these kings, we come up with this truth. Don't bank on past faithfulness to guarantee future faithfulness. Do not bank on past faithfulness to guarantee future faithfulness. Finishing well is hard and can only happen through the grace of God at work in our lives until we draw our final breath. Now, I know as a young person, I want to finish well. But as I look out, I know that many in our church are retired or looking at retirement ahead. So I want to address this application to you because I want you to finish well. I don't want you to go out like King Uzziah, like King Jehoshaphat, like King Asa. I want you to finish strong. Just because you have been faithful unto now doesn't mean that you can coast into the kingdom. You don't do any coasting into the kingdom. I want each one of your lives to make God look great. So how do we finish well? I mean, we could have a number of answers to the question, and because I haven't finished well, I'm still at the beginning of my journey, I'll let the Bible speak to how we finish well. There are four ways that we can finish well from our text. I'm sure there's more in the Bible, but here's four from our text. Number one, continue to seek God. Continue to seek God. Verse 5, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. When Uzziah stopped seeking the Lord, his heart filled with pride, and he destroyed himself. Life from beginning to end is about God and worshiping him. Retirement can be deadly because the world will tell you, now you get to focus on yourself. You deserve it. You worked hard at your job. You worked hard to raise your family. Now it's about you. Have some me time. The Bible tells us is that our lives are about God. He created you to worship him, and if you belong to him, you will worship him throughout all eternity. You are not a retiree. You are a worshiper of God Almighty. Well, you're not a worker. You're not just a husband or wife. You are first a worshiper of God Almighty. So continue to seek him. Number two, listen to the right people. Listen to the right people. Verse 5, again, is very key. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. So this Zechariah is not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. There's other Zecharias, but this man was probably a prophet because he understood visions of God. And this prophet gave instruction to the king. And many kings in this book, they do very well when they listen to priests or prophets. And they go so wrong when they ignore the advice of God's messengers. Uzziah was on track as long as he listened to the right voices. So if you're listening to Christian friends, listening to God's word, being around church, this is a good thing to hear the right voices. But if you turn on your TV or you look at a random advertisement in a magazine or talk to your neighbor, you very well may hear voices that will lead you away from God. Whether they state it this clearly, this is the message you will often hear. Life's about you. Follow your heart. No one else can tell you what to do. You only live once, so enjoy all that you can now. And that's the underlying message that the culture is telling you. And if you listen to those voices, you will go out with a whimper like Uzziah. So listen to the right people. Number three, remember that everything is from God. Everything Uzziah had was from God, and God helped him until he was strong. When we forget that everything we have is from God, we are on the road to finish poorly. Whether you have just a little bit in your bank account or you have a nicely padded retirement fund, you can easily buy into the American lie that you have made a nice life for yourself. And I tell you, if you think that you have arrived at where you are by your own effort, this is going to lead to pride, ungratefulness, and self-worship. You were born with nothing, and you will leave this world with nothing. When we remember that everything we have is from God, our possessions, our health, we will be happy to use all those things to serve God. And so it's mine. So continue to seek God, listen to the right people, remember everything is from God, and number four, be faithful in your calling. Uzziah was doing well when he devoted his energy to being a good king. It's when pride got a hold, it's like, I'm going to be a priest too, I'm going to lift myself up. Then things went downhill from there. There is something very dangerous about retirement, is that you may not have a defined calling. Like, for 30 or 40 years, you defined yourself around doing a certain thing, raising kids, working a certain job. And all of a sudden, there's so many options out there. What do I do? I think it's important to be define what your calling is so that you can be faithful in it, in any aspect of life, young or old or middle life. So what is your calling? What is this sphere that God has given you to work in? It's not the whole world, and it's not just you, okay? Somewhere in between. Stick to what God has given you and be faithful in it. So I want to finish well. I want you to finish well. I don't want you to go out with a whimper like King Uzziah. But here's a secret. You're not strong enough to finish well. If it was up to you, you would go out with a whimper. Only Christ can strengthen you to enter heaven and here. Well done, good and faithful servant. So remember, dear friends, Christ is ready there to strengthen you, to give you grace so that you can finish well. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do confess that we are weak, and then when we're not weak, we forget that we are weak and need you. Father, we need you, your power. We need your grace to help us to finish well. Oh, Father, I don't want us to go out with a whimper like King Uzziah. I want us to go out with our faces aglow with the worship of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be faithful in the callings that you have given us, whether they be big or small, at home or in the community. Oh, Father, help us to finish well, and may we long to hear your words. Well done, good and faithful servant. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.